All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Tuesday, November the 28th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. We definitely have had a temperature change. I actually saw some snow falling this morning. So I guess winter's here. We still might be in the fall, but winter is close. This is that month. The month between Thanksgiving and Christmas is just the worst. I mean, it's great. You know, it always turns out to be great, but a lot of anxiety. I don't know why. But yeah, it's not my favorite month, but we will get through it. Thank gosh. And, yeah, went to a meeting last night, went to the Monday night meeting. Great meeting. It was on the fourth step. Big fan of the fourth step. I must not have gone to the meeting last week because this week they read the second half of the fourth step. I don't remember reading the first half. I was actually coming back from Connecticut last Monday. We were in Connecticut and, we actually came back Tuesday, so I must have missed that. But, you know, I love the fourth step. I love the fourth step. It is, you know, I remember coming into this program, you know, when I first got sober back in whenever. And I remember this, you know, this mumbling, you know, this like, oh, one day you're going to have to do the fourth step. Right? Oh, the fourth step. I even had a guy who was a friend of mine who I met in the program, we'd become friends. And then I decided I had this great idea that he could be my sponsor. And he, you know, he put me up to the test, right? He had some requirements for doing, cause we were going to do a fourth step and, you know, I had to have a certain notebook, right? Certain color pen. And I had to be there at a certain time, right? It was all these, you know, basically testing me. Are you willing? Are you willing to do this? Because if you're not willing to follow these simple little instructions, you must not be willing to thoroughly work a fourth step. And I'm like brand new. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I have no clue. I didn't realize I'm being tested, right? I didn't know I was preparing or getting ready for an opportunity to get a beating. And I think I had the wrong notebook or the wrong pen, and I proceeded to get the beating that I deserved. And that's when I was like, you know, man, I think I'd rather just be friends and skip you sponsoring me and doing this four step. Van Halen. I love that band. I grew up on Van Halen. I am, you know, and I, you know, I'm a big fan of YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTube. In fact, it's really all that I watch is YouTube. I mean, of course, I watch football and different things, but most of the stuff that I watch is on YouTube. I find that the most interesting. And for some reason in my timeline is just all Eddie Van Halen. And I even know YouTube must know that I love Van Halen. So it's always great to reminisce, and you know, I loved Eddie Van Halen. He died right around when my mother died, so yeah. But anyway, the point of this is that, you know, I had the meeting last night, and it was on the second half of the fourth step, and my buddy spoke, And it was great, you know. But one of the things I noticed, and, you know, and I've shared this before, you know, people, I can't, you know, I don't want to judge people, right? We're all doing the best we can, right? But, you know, a lot of people, my buddy shared last night, and a bunch of people shared, and not one person talked about how this step, the fourth step, has worked in their life. And, you know, I think that, you know, I know when I came into the program, all I wanted to do was just stop drinking and driving, right? And I didn't know about all of this stuff. I mean, I was aware of the steps because I had flirted around the outside of this program for many years, but never wanting to get sober. So whatever was said or whatever was going on in these meetings didn't pertain to me because I didn't want it. And so, but I was aware of the word, like the steps, 12 steps, yada, yada. But I didn't know anything about it. And I've said before, you know, I was at the bottom. You know, I know we can go lower, and I could have, but I was pretty much at the bottom, right? I had just been bouncing along. I really had no hope. I didn't have any desire to get better. I just sort of come to the conclusion that this is what my life was going to be. And, you know, I was watching a guy talk about, he was doing an interview, and he said that every day, you know, he didn't want to be a drunk, right? He didn't want to be a drug addict. He wanted something better, but just could not get out of that, you know, constant grind of addiction. And I could totally relate. Every day I would wake up with regret and shame. Every day I would wake up saying I didn't want to do this again. And every day I would absolutely do it again. And, you know, he talked about failing the contract between, you know, with myself. And that's sort of what I would try to do. I sort of write a contract with myself every morning. All right, tonight we're not doing this. We're not doing that. And by the end of the night, I was doing all of it, plus more. And so that was pretty hopeless feeling. And March 31st, 1997, when I got my ass kicked, I had no desire. I mean, I clearly didn't have a desire to get sober because the reason I got my mouth punched is because I was running it about getting last call. I need another drink. I mean, I'm just disgusting. I apologize to anybody that ever met me at last call. I apologize because I'm sure I was an asshole. But that's what was going on. There was no, hey, man, I'm thinking about quitting drinking and getting sober. Pff, get punched in the mouth. No. I was running my mouth because I was so drunk. I mean, I was drunk, and I had to have another, right? That is, you know, I don't know if I shared this in a podcast the other day, you know, all the way up until we put that drink to our mouth, this program can help us, right? We can, you know, if we want to get sober, if we want to make changes, we can reach out, we can get help. But once the alcohol goes in, all bets are off. And in that night, the alcohol was in. There was no wanting to get sober. It was get more drunk and running my mouth and still don't know. You know, I'd love to say, God, reach down and smack me. But I think it was the bartender or it was the bar back or somebody just was tired of listening to me. And that moment, excuse me, Jesus, sorry. And in that moment, I had this moment of clarity, and, you know, and I've shared before, it was all shame and embarrassment. That's what how I ended up in a hospital. I mean, obviously I needed stitches, but it wasn't to get sober. And that lady asked me, and I got on board. But, and you know, luckily the result the next day was positive, and I felt good. I felt good enough to want to stay with it and continue doing it. But it wasn't really what I wanted, right? But I did it. My life felt better. All of a sudden, I had hope, right? I had all of the dumb shit that goes away as soon as the alcohol shows up, right? The ability to drive, the ability to have decent conversations, the ability to get up early for work, the ability to be relied upon. You know, just all this shit, you know, you can't have anything nice because eventually it's getting broken or ruined in my drunken behavior at some point. You know, I was living in a shit apartment. That's all I could live in. I couldn't have anything nice. I would break it. And, you know, it's exactly what a drunk like me should have. And when I stopped that first day, all of a sudden I felt better. And, you know, I was up in that hospital for a week and I started feeling better and better. And the program came and found me and I started, you know, and I shared the other day, you know, I just started watching people enjoying life as it should be enjoyed, not like I used to. And it was just enough, right? And so I hung in there. And then eventually, the steps had to be addressed. And I was not a big fan of the steps. I mean, it's not that I didn't want to do them, but I just, you know, because I wasn't, my perspective wasn't I was doing this because I got to, I was doing this because I had to. And, you know, I've shared before, you can't, it's tough to do that. And so, you know, I remember, you know, like this underlying attitude that, oh, the fourth step is so bad. And so, like I said, when I did the fourth step with my buddy and it didn't work out, I ended up doing it with another person. And it was more just to get it done, right? I'd heard all this bad stuff, right? And I was like, when it was all done, I was like, well, it wasn't so bad. It was not bad at all. And then on to the fifth, right? The problem is I really didn't do a good fourth step, right? I didn't understand. You know, today when I look at the fourth step, it's about learning who I am and why I do what it is what I do, right? Why, you know, like I didn't like a lot of people. I had a lot of negative attitudes toward people, towards working, towards everything. I was just negative. And because I felt like it was all of their fault, right? I couldn't take any accountability and for where my life had gotten to. I was self-centered. And it was just a huge mystery. So I didn't get any of the benefits out of the fourth step. It just got me closer to the fifth step because in my mind at that time, it was just about getting done, right? I want to be done. I want to be something that I didn't even know what I wanted to be. I just wanted to get everything done and say that I had done it. Like, just like school, right? Just like ninth grade. I did it, right? I did the test. I did the homework. I didn't know what I had done. You know, more than likely my parents had helped me. More than likely somebody else had helped me. And for that, I didn't really pay any attention. It just got done and completed. And that's how I treated the first time I went through the fourth step and every other step that I had gone through. And, the problem is that when life started to show back up, I didn't know how to handle it, you know, and that's what these steps do. They teach us how to handle situations that used to baffle us, right? They teach us how to, you know, deal with people, you know, deal with situations, deal with work. It's a gift. It's the biggest gift that I've ever received, and I didn't have to pay for it. You know, obviously, we, you know, throw some money in the basket, but you know, and it wasn't until I drank and came back in and started to really understand that, you know, this is about learning who I am. You know, there is no manual on the human being. It's pretty much figure it out as you go. And unfortunately, if you get on the wrong path like I did, I figure it out. I'm figuring out how to do the wrong thing instead of the right thing. And so when I finally had that perspective change and I got to do this fourth step, it wasn't scary. Sure, there were some things that I had to discuss and disclose to another human being that were embarrassing. I think we've all have them, right? There's a lot of shame in some of the things that we do as a young person, and because we don't particularly think about the consequences. And so, of course, there's some embarrassing stuff. And I remember, you know, when I came back and started doing the steps again was with Matt, and I couldn't do my fourth step with Matt. I could do, you know, he helped me. But when it came to doing the fifth step, which was talking about all of the things that I'd done in my life, I had to go back and find my old sponsor, the guy that I was too embarrassed with to do it in the first place. And so I found him, did it, divulged everything, tried to understand what was behind it, and then finally had the relief. And I don't even know if I felt relief at the time. I don't even know if I understood the whole purpose of it. I just know that it was told I needed to do it, and I did it. And, you know, one of the tough things about getting sober is, you know, they say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Really, it's like a long walk around, you know, the Junction Breakwater Trail, right? It's just a long walk. And when you get to the end, you do the long walk again. You know, there is no finish line, you know, and ideally what happens is once you do work these steps, you become knowledgeable, right? We become humble enough to learn. And then we become teachers, or we try to, if it's only by example, but we try to teach the next person. And I just don't understand why, you know, I went to that meeting the other night with my friends that all celebrated. Nobody talked about the steps. You know, my buddy was so excited, but overwhelmed with with emotion, and he shared how it just so full of fear and shame. And then the one guy was just so happy, and then the last guy with the most time was just so miserable. Not one person in that room mentioned the steps, except for me. And then, you know what? Somebody came up to me after the meeting. They go, "Yeah, you really say how it is." I'm like almost like I felt like I was too, like I shouldn't have, right? I shouldn't have talked about the steps. And is that what happens when you try to talk about the steps and how they work in your life? You know, I remember my buddy used to say, you know, if I was having a problem, what step are you working on? Right. My buddy that shared last night, he was talking about how, and he did, it was such a great share. He was talking about that, you know, when he was living up north, right, up in the other states, he had a real drinking problem, and he had a drinking and driving problem, and he got caught drinking and driving several times. And I think the last time he was convicted, went to prison, I think, and lost his license for 11 years. And he said that, you know, there was a decision when he got out of jail, there was a decision that he was going to move down here and stay with some friends and just try to get his life in order, right? And when he came down here, he said, you know, the one thing that I decided early on that I wasn't going to drive, right? Because he'd lost his license for 11 years. And some people might be like, you know, I could probably sneak around, right? Take the back roads. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to make a decision to not continue making bad decisions. That's the third step, right? We turn our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power. It's a humble decision, because there's the other decision, which is I'll try driving and I'll sneak around and nobody will catch me. And then we get caught, right? And then we're like, I can't believe the police in Delaware or the system, right? And it's our own fault, right? We make that choice. And he said that last night. I made a choice. I'm not going to drive. So he had to rely on people to drive him around. And he found people to drive him around and he did well. And however many years later, he's got his license and he's sober. He's my sponsor and, you know, he's a great guy. But that's a step working in his life. That's the third step. You know, we start, you know, obeying the law, right? People want to say it's obeying God, but if you have trouble with that, just consider obeying the law. Because back in the day, I always broke the law. You know, we were always doing drugs, buying drugs, selling drugs, driving around the town with drugs, doing all sorts of dumb shit with drugs. So all of that was against the law, against the law, against the law. And so when I got sober, I did the third step, but, you know, it talked about God and a higher power, and I was just like, I don't understand, and I don't care. On to the fourth, right? And when I finally came back and started to change my perspective, I started to understand how these steps how I've actually been working these steps in my life this whole time and didn't realize it. You know, when we start making better decisions, our life gets better. You know, I spent the first half of my life making a lot of bad decisions, and my life reflected it. And as soon as I got sober and started to make better decisions, you know, not hanging out in bars, right? Not walking through liquor stores, not hanging out with the same people, you know, that's one of the tough things. People get sober, they think, well, I'll just hang out with the same people, but I just won't drink. That doesn't work. So I'm sorry, but it doesn't work. And typically you get sober long enough and you don't want to hang out with those people. They're not interesting anymore, right? We have desire better conversations, right? So the point is that nobody's talking about the damn steps. And the steps are the key. You know, if one of the things that I've gotten from working these steps thoroughly with a sponsor, and that's, you know, that's the other thing. I work these steps with the sponsor thoroughly, right? But I continue to go to a step meeting. I go to two step meetings now a week. I go to the Monday night and I'm leading the Saturday night. And that's a step meeting too. It's the good thing about that meeting is at the end of the last Saturday of the month, we do a tradition. So this past week, we did the 11th tradition. It's great to learn about the traditions too, right? We learn about anonymity and why it's important, you know, and all these things are important. When I came to the program, we used to have a traditions meeting. Harry, what's his last initial? Harry, I don't know. But Harry, this guy Harry, used to do a traditions meeting. Nobody liked going to the traditions meeting. There are so many important things about the traditions of this program, right? They say if you ever want to start a meeting, just take the traditions and go start it. And you learn a lot about. One of the things you learn is that a lot of the meetings that we have, you know, a lot of personalities are involved, right? There's nowhere does it say we have to have a pot of coffee, right? And nowhere does it say we have to have cookies. It might say coffee. I don't know. I think coffee was around just to try to sober up the bums, right? The people back then were so drunk, they just, I guess, would fill them up with coffee. So coffee became sort of a tradition thing to a meeting. But then cookies showed up. They're not required, right? They're not in the, there's not a list of things that are required. I think you need a room and a big book. I don't even know. I'm not even sure there is even a list. But I know that all these things, you know, the meeting I was at on Saturday, they do a raffle. They give away a book. That's great. But that's a personality, right? That's not a principle. You know, I've seen a lot of meetings get screwed up by too much personality. But we learn about that through the traditions, right? We learn, you know, how we can destroy our own self. And if left unchecked, we will. And so the traditions play a huge role. But nobody's talking about these steps. And the reality is, I don't think people understand, because we come in as self-centered people focusing on self. But the reality is we have to get better to help the next alcoholic. We have a problem in this country with drugs and alcohol and self and spending and eating and drinking, all of this gluttony. You know, we have an issue, and that's our job. We learn, and we don't just learn. You know, I saw another friend of mine the other night. He's got like 26 years. I'm like, how come you're not going to more meetings? You got a lot of knowledge up in there. Oh, I know. I'm like, you should be... You should be at a meeting every week so people can see, look, if I do this and I work hard at it, I get this, and these are the things that come to me in my life. It's crazy. These steps are awesome, and everybody should be doing them, I guess. Teach its own, right? Everybody's path. I can tell you that there was a time when I thought I was doing the steps, and I really wasn't. And so my suggestion would be, just keep coming to meetings, right? Keep coming to meetings, work with the sponsor, work the steps, keep going to step meetings, work them again, try to figure out how they're working in your life, and be grateful. Be grateful that we have these amazing tools. It's fantastic. All right. Okay. Enough. Sorry. Am I right? Am I wrong? Maybe? I don't know. Let's see if we can do a daily reflections, and then I guess I'm going to hang out. I got some more clients, but apparently this one is not coming in. I locked the door and I put my headphones on, so if they're late, they didn't get in. But I waited a while. All right, November the 28th, attraction, not promotion. Here we go. Through many painful experiences, we think we have arrived at what the policy ought to be. It is the opposite in many ways of usual promotional practice. We found that we had to rely upon the principles of attraction rather than promotion. And that is one of the traditions. Attraction, not promotion. 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 180 to 181. While I was drinking, I reacted with anger, self-pity, and defiance against anyone who wanted to change me. All I wanted then was to be accepted by another human simply as I and curiously. That is what I found in AA. I became the custodian of this concept of attraction, which is the principle of fellowship public relations. It is by attraction that I can best reach the alcoholic who still suffers. I thank God for having given me the attraction of well-planned and established program of steps and traditions. Through humility and the support of my fellow sober members, I have been able to practice the AA way of life through attraction, not promotion. Yeah, anybody that's sober knows that promoting it is not good. Right? I mean, like I told my buddy last night, there isn't one word in the big book that's ever inspired me to stay sober. It's the people that sit up front. You know, because he was like, listen, I'm nobody, I can't get anybody sober. And I'm like, you can. You know what? You can. And the share that he had last night, I thought was very inspiring. And he talked of a guy that was at the very, very bottom with little hope. And people gave him an opportunity, and he made some decisions, right? In that third step where he decided, I'm going to start obeying the law, right, instead of breaking it. And that was a beginning, right? Those are those humble moments, because self's like, we could probably drive. We don't need to. we don't need to rely on other people. That's too much. Let's just try driving. And then we get caught. And then we're like, how the fuck did this happen, right? It's happened to me. I've made many dumb decisions like that. So it's just, you know, it's a fantastic deal. I'm a huge fan of getting sober. I'm a huge fan of the steps. You know, everything that happens in my life today, I refer to the steps, right? If something good's happening, I look at the fourth step. What is this doing? What is this feeding, right? What am I hoping here secretly, right? What is it that I think I'm going to get out of this? What's my motivation? You know, am I making the right decisions in the third step, right? The fifth step, I'm not sure you have to do too many fifth steps, right? I think we've figured that one out. But, you know, the shortcomings and our character defects, they're popping up all the time. When things happen, you know, I've shared before how I behave sometimes while driving, right? How I behave sometimes while as a hairdresser. You know, I had a client this morning who was just, you know, telling me all of this information, but, you know, had so many big words and all this stuff. And I'm like, you're saying so many words, but I don't feel like I'm understanding what you're telling me at all, right? I probably shouldn't have said that, but what are you saying to me, right? Get to it. Sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I'm not as patient, you know. Sometimes I get hooked up on things, like a lady the other day called and hadn't been to, you know, she'd been to 7 hair salons and nobody could cut her hair right. And I was like, well, it sounds like a you problem, not a hair salon problem. Probably shouldn't have said that, but that's the truth, right? That's the truth. My problem is that I want her to realize that she should see that, and that doesn't always happen, and I'm not the one that needs to be telling her. So, you know, that's a character defect. You know, sometimes I'm a little too honest. Many people will tell you that. Many people will say, and now I feel like I'm getting this sort of this reputation as, you know, this hard ass old timer, right? That used to sit down, shut up. You got nothing to offer. You go to a bunch of meetings, do 99, you know, whatever they used to say. I don't want to be like that. But the fact is, we have got to remember that these steps are the solution, right? When you have 26 years like that guy and unhappy and sort of miserable and, you know, feeling, you know, just you should be happier at 26 years. And I'm not sure, right, where he is in this step. I should have said, what step are you working on? Probably didn't want to hear that. But, you know, and that's the other problem, man, is the more time you get, it's hard. You know, we forget. The pain fades. And but anyway, check out the steps. They're important. Learn them. Have them working in your life. And then help another person. That is the key. And, you know, without that, we won't survive. We won't survive. And we need to. Later.